Chuck Chat Technorama for August 31st, 2005.
This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocopic Margo vanes. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. And the facient lunar wing shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplaneration. Retroincabulator.
Welcome to Technorama. My real podcast is in the shop. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp.
Hello. Hey there, guys.
He's still there.
Hey, y'all.
Coming up in tonight's show, we'll talk to my coworker Casey Yen from Penang, Malaysia, about tech in Southeast Asia. And I'm ready to dropkick my iRiver. In fact, I dropkicked it all the way back to Milpitas, California. And Craig is going to follow up on his WordPress scripts.
Yep, lots of code.
But first, a word from our sponsor.
The next live event for techpodcast.com is September 3rd. It's all about RSS and OPML, real simple syndication, and outline processor markup language. These are topics near and dear to the heart of every geek. You have heard about them for almost a year. Now here's the inside scoop in a single, focused, real-time event presented in interactive form using Citrix GoToMeeting. It's the very same technology that you can try out at no charge for 30 days. So, two things you can do right now. Go to techpodcast.com and register for the event. And while you're there, follow the links and reserve your free 30-day trial. One site, a great deal, and a front row seat. Techpodcast.com.
On this day in tech history. It was on this day in 1920, the first news radio program was broadcast in Detroit, Michigan. And in 1931, production of the Ford Motor Company's Model A ends with 4.3 million produced. And it was on this date, August 31st, 1897, Thomas Alva Edison, the American who invented the incandescent light bulb and phonograph, had been experimenting with moving picture technology for more than a decade. Edison was determined, as he put it, to do for the eye what the phonograph does for the ear. Edison had actually invented and built his motion picture camera by 1891. In fact, he had opened the world's first motion picture studio in 1893, but it took 6 years for the patent to be approved. His kinetographic camera was remarkably similar to today's film movie cameras. It used photographic film which moved past a camera lens, producing images which gave the illusion of motion. However, today's motion picture film is transparent, since it is intended to be projected on a screen and viewed by large audiences. Edison's kinetographic camera produced pictures that had to be viewed through the peephole of a device called a kinetoscope. They could, therefore, only be watched by a few people simultaneously. Edison understood the illusion of motion depended upon images changing faster than the eye could see. There should be at least enough frames per second so that the eye of the observer cannot distinguish, or at least cannot clearly and positively distinguish at a glance, a difference in the position occupied by the object in the successive figures. A less speed in taking the pictures will cause a trembling or jerky appearance in the produced picture. And that's the way it was on this date, August 31st, in tech history. Make a name for yourself at GoDaddy.com. Reserve your place on the net with your own .com domain or other domain name. And now at GoDaddy, each domain name includes Economy Mail, a $9.95 value free. That's your own personalized email account. Plus, listeners to this show get an additional 10% off any order. Just enter TECH3, that's T-E-C-H, and the number 3 is your source code. So head over to GoDaddy.com today. And now for some real news.
Real news?
I got a creaky chair. That's not news, though.
No, I've heard it long enough.
This is actually my creaky stool. My creaky chairs we sprayed with Triflow.
Hey, by the way, if this isn't your real podcast, what's your what is your other one?
Daily Source Code.
You are Chuck Tomasi by day and Adam Curry by night.
Oh yeah, man.
Here you go.
Would you cut it out? We've got a show to do.
I'm sorry, I got tea on my keyboard. Oh man. What a day.
What did you find?
You know, as far as the news goes, did you see that the Creative Zen ships with a worm?
Oh, that's nice.
As in virus worm.
Has this been confirmed?
I think so. I saw it in a couple different places, so I assume people are starting to run with it. But then again, you know. But it looks like somebody turned the virus scanner off at a creative production plant. Let's see. They have about 3,700 5-gig Zen Neons shipped since July. Might have possibly been packed with the Woolick payload, whatever that Woolick virus is. Of course, you know, it's not going to run right off the bat. You'd have to actually execute something off of the drive, you know, off the pipe, the thing itself. So it's not that bad of a thing, but hey, it's shipped with a virus.
Nice.
You think they should clean that up a little bit. But.
So how do you clean it off?
A fire scanner? It's just an external hard drive.
Do you reformat the hard drive when you attach it to your PC to make sure that it's really clean?
Well, they were saying, you know, if you had some virus scanning going on, you're probably going to be okay. It'll just wipe the daggum thing off. But, you know, if you run a program that's infected that's on that thing, which I doubt anybody would, you know, it doesn't ship with anything on it. So, shouldn't be that big of an issue, but I thought it was kind of humorous that, you know, quality control is asleep at the wheel there.
But who would think to run a virus scan on their MP3 player?
Oh, come on. Well, your machine would do it.
Will it? Will it do all removable devices as well?
Yeah. You ever put a floppy in your drive and it come up and say you got a virus on it or scan it or something?
I don't use floppies anymore.
You don't use virus scanners either.
Don't need to. I got Mac.
Yeah, you don't need to. I'm on Linux tonight. What do I care?
Anyway. You found an interesting interesting place to send your name.
Yeah. Where? To Technorama. Why don't you send us an email, everyone? No.
Nice plug.
Yeah. Now, really, you can send your name to Pluto. The New Horizons project, it's a satellite they're sending to Pluto. Mm-hmm. It's going to do some reconnaissance of Pluto in the Kuiper belt.
Kuiper belt. <area. laughs>
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, you can send your name on they'll put everybody's names on a CD and put it on the satellite and send it off. So I thought it was pretty cool. I signed my name up and my son's name. So
Stick in an upload of our show.
Yeah, then we'll never get any extraterrestrial life come to Earth.
That one don't fit on the Google map.
I can hear it now. Translation. What is this crap?
This is Borg from the planet Pluto. 101, guys.
I can see it now. They spend several years building the technology to play a CD, and when they play it, they hear, "This is Technorama for August 31st, 2005.
Wow, this podcasting's cool.
Rev Tim.
This is Rev Tim from the Rev Tim Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, hold your headphones tightly to your ears. Your MP3 treat is coming in the form of Chuck Tomasi from Chuck Chat.
I want to give a listener shout out to Mark Shepard, who earns our dubious title of August Uber fan.
That's right.
He has sent lots and lots of email. He's got extreme dedication to the webcam. In fact, I'll bet one of the viewers right now is Mr. Shepard. And he's even sent material to contribute to the show. So thank you very much. Sorry, I had to slip into that Belgian accent early, a couple words early.
Wait a minute. For Mark Shepard?
Yes.
Salute.
Yes. Thanks, Grandpa.
Yeah. Salute.
Say, Mini Pearl. Right behind him is Jorge Schrock. Oh, I knew I'd do that. I didn't even spell it right on here. Jorge Schwaren. No, it's actually Jorge Schwara.
Okay.
You get that? Jorge Schwara. He sent me a sound bite, and I tried to imitate it as best I could. He's from Belgium, and I'm not.
Yeah.
Who we've been conversing with him almost on a daily basis.
Had him send some waffles over.
Belgian waffles?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you both for listening. Thank you very much. A couple more people like you, and we double our listenership.
That's right. Thank you.
Golf clap.
Now, I found this, and this was just hilarious. Like, it's too funny to pass up. If Microsoft had made VI.
I have yet to read this. I am dying to read it. I just haven't had a chance yet today.
They have it's actually a little Flash movie.
Uh-huh.
And it comes up, and the guy goes to save his, or doing a regular expression in VI.
Mm-hmm.
And then the little ASCII version of the paperclip comes up and says, yeah, it looks like you're trying to do a regular expression. Can I help you with that?
No, you have to do it in that Gilbert Gottfried voice. Did you ever see that little movie?
It looks like you're trying to...
It looks like you're trying to write a resume. Are you looking for a job?
Are you trying to write a regular expression? I will. Anyway, that's funny. We'll have a link to that. I just died laughing. It's not very long. And so it's funny. And, you know, today I got a nice little surprise in the mail.
What'd you get?
Well, I think it was probably about, it was actually maybe about a month and a half ago. I sent off for Ubuntu CDs. You know, on their website, you can sign up for an account and request CDs. And they'll send you a whole bunch of CDs so you can pass them out.
Mm-hmm.
Ubuntu is it's a version of Linux based on Debian. I think it's Matthew Anyway, he is the entrepreneur who went up to space in the Russian ship, went up to the space station, docked for a little while, mm-hmm. You know, spent the $20 million. He's the guy who actually founded Thwart, the certificate people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Thought. Yeah. Yes.
Thought. And he's sold it off, of course, and now he's like a philanthropist, funds the Canonical, the company that makes Ubuntu Linux, and they do nice little things like ship a bunch of CDs out. So today I signed up, of course, like I said, about a month and a half ago, got a package with 10 CDs in it. It's got, each package is nice. It's like, you know, you open up the little CD pack.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a live CD on one side, and it's got the install on the other.
10 CDs?
Yeah. Well, actually 20 if you look at it that way, but 10 packages, and each package has 2 CDs in it.
That's also a lot of CDs for an operating system, Craig.
No. Hello?
Yes?
It's got 10 packages. Each package has the install disk.
Yeah?
And a live CD. I give you one, you have 2 CDs.
You ordered 10 copies of Ubuntu Linux?
Yeah, I give them out.
Oh, okay, I got it. Must be
one
the
plus
wine.
One. Yeah, must be the wine. Keep drinking, and I'll just keep on going. Nah, actually, go ahead and what's this bumper sticker you found?
I was driving back from the blood center today,
mm-hmm.
And I got off on my off ramp. I was headed back to work, and I was behind some little blue car, like an Escort or something. And I just about fell. If I wasn't at a red light, I would have driven off the road laughing. It said, there's no place like 127.0.0.1.
Oh, yeah. I've
oh,
seen this.
My gosh. I I was laughing. That was so geeky. The people who aren't laughing right now don't know what I'm talking about, but I thought that was priceless. I was ready to get out at the next light and say, where'd you get the sticker?
I'll tell you where he got it.
Where?
Think Geek.
No, really? I should have guessed.
Yeah, they got... there's a ton of them out there. I love Think Geek. Let's see.
I got to get back there. Look it up while we're playing this.
All right, I'll do that.
Oh, my God. They grow out of those pods.
This is Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Chuck Chat Technorama. Can you figure out who's the one and who's the zero?
With us now, we've got Casey Yen from Penang, Malaysia. Casey's a coworker of mine. Hi, Casey.
Hi, Chuck.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Hello, Wisconsin.
Someone from Malaysia is in here in the room, and Craig from the U.S. is not. Something's wrong with this picture.
It's the magic of the internet.
Well, we want to talk to Casey a little bit about the differences in the way technology is here in the U.S. and the way things are in Malaysia. Now, I know there's... Generally, let's start with something simple. How are the computer prices basically there versus here?
Well, computer prices, let's see. You've got branded stuff, which normal people pay, and then you have clone machines where, well, students pay, and we just rip them off. For students, the cheapest, the better.
Well, sure.
Are most of them brand names? I mean, are there Dells and HPs, or are most people buying the white boxes where it's all put together pieces?
Most of us will be buying the white boxes. It's like brand name and with service warranty, that kind of stuff don't really work, except that for people that have no computer literacy at all.
Mm-hmm.
So guys that actually has basic computer knowledge would just go up to a friend or just hop into the store and tell the guy, hey, I'm gonna build a box, give me the parts. And we have computer fairs that last every 3-4 months. We have a big one, and the northern region has a major one, which is held in Penang, fortunately. And there is a big one that's being held in the state capital of Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest one in the whole Malaysia.
Now, what about software? I understand that's a whole other story.
Well, software... Well, without... We thrive mainly on pirated stuff.
Now, I understand that about every 2 blocks there's a pirate software store where you can walk in and spend a dollar, pick up a CD of Microsoft Office.
Yep. Not every 2 blocks.
Not every 2 blocks, every 3 blocks.
What did you bring us today?
Well, today I don't have any.
Oh, okay.
But on my trip over here, I bought Adobe Photoshop CS2. Mm-hmm. That's for ringgit, and if you convert it, it's about
$1.50.
$1.50.
Wow. That's like four ringgit to a dollar.
Yeah, I remember this one guy I used to do some computer work for. He's like, one time, this is a long time ago, he handed me a CD, and he's like, you're my friend, his brother or something lives in that area. I'm not exactly sure, somewhere around there. And he's like, he said he sent me this CD, and I looked at it, and it had like Windows NT, Windows this, Windows that. Then it had like $10,000 of the software on there. And he said he bought it for just a few bucks on the street, just like you're talking about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I can get you a whole collection of Windows on a DVD from 3.1 to the very latest 2.03. How would you like that?
That's pretty amazing.
You can see why it's so tempting.
Yeah, no kidding. So, have you seen any of the factories where they make a lot of the chips and whatnot? Like, I know I've seen Malaysia written on Intel stuff all the time.
Yep. You see AMD processors mostly, and Intel. I think Intel chips you probably see Malaysia, Philippines. I'm not sure if they have a plant in Taiwan.
Yep.
But a lot of AMD stuff you see getting reviewed, I noticed that the chip always says made assembled in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you get started in computers?
Well, first computer class was when I was in Standard 6, that's primary 6 here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's back in 89. So my original interest to dwell in the computers was because I was really attracted to writing viruses.
You were attracted to writing viruses?
Yes. Viruses was the...
Out! Out!
Yeah. He made this one called the Melissa virus.
But unfortunately, I didn't get the sort of direction and skills that to actually rewrite a real virus. And
a bad virus, right? So how did you, where did that take you? I mean, is you started out there and you had that interest, but
well, most of it is just attending normal applications classes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I started. My first language I learned was always BASIC. Then mm-hmm. I graduated to doing some DBase Plus, Clipper. Then C wasn't until I actually went into college.
Okay.
So it's like I have a real big gap in the middle. And when in college, all I had was just one semester to learn up C language. And the lecturer says, he's got to be a genius at the end of this.
I hear that all the time.
That you're going to be a genius?
Yeah.
We're still waiting.
Yeah, you're still waiting.
Till today, I'm still not.
So what's the computer literacy like over there? Is it pretty prominent, or?
Well, what's popular will be like Visual Basic, Visual C, meaning the guys would be learning the stuff that what's popular out there. And also, a lot of it depends on the type of projects that's being assigned out from the lecturers.
Mm-hmm.
So if the lecturers just gave out an assignment that you have to build a program using Java, they'll just go out, grab the Java compiler and start learning. Hmm. And same thing goes with C Sharp. And it's just that it's very much based on the direction that's given out by the lecturers and the type of assignments we undertake.
Well, what about the general population? What's it like around there?
Does your mom send you email?
Mom? No. My mom does not know how to operate a computer.
Okay. I think is that what you're looking for, Craig? Is you're looking for more of the...
I was curious about the general population. How is computer literacy there? Is it just like here where there's some people that just don't deal with it at all, and there's others that are very wrapped up in it?
Well,
I guess
there are those that they don't want to have any contact with a PC at all. And there are those that deal with it day to day.
This is Garrick Van Buren with the First Crack Podcast. You're listening to Chuck Tomasi.
Hey, I want to ask another tech question there. What's the rate of adoption? Like here, you know, say if Windows XP came out or something like that.
Uh-huh.
How soon would y'all start seeing something like that, or vice versa?
Hardware, maybe. But software, well, I would believe that some of them even comes out faster than what you guys would get here in the States. You have the RC candidates and, you know, all the beta stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know where these people get the stuff, but you can get them off the shelf.
Yeah.
Not your friendly $1.50 store.
Yeah. The virtual shelf.
Yes. You get computer software, PlayStation games, Xbox games, GameCube. Yeah.
All those.
But PS and Xbox would be the more popular ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would see it's much easier to get Microsoft software, but Mac software is also available, but it's quite hard to find. You have to find some specialty shop that sells this kind of stuff, but then only they have it.
We also have that here.
Called the Apple Store?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's about the same.
What do you know about like earthquake and tsunami sensors? Is there anything going into place there in terms of technology, or is that still on the drawing board?
I think it's still on the drawing board. It's going to get debated out in the parliament, by the government, in the parliament, before anything real actually kicks off.
Is it mainly just because it's expensive, or...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in light of last Christmas's tsunami, you know, it's got to be in the forefront of everybody's mind these days.
I believe so. But then, it's... I've read articles that say this stuff don't actually cost cheap. Mm-hmm. And they are real costly to set up. But if you see in the reports in the newspaper, you say, Thailand, okay, we're going to set up our own tsunami detection center. And Malaysia goes, yeah, we're going to set up our own tsunami detection center.
This is Angela Tomasi. My cousin Guido tells me that he asked you to go to Podcast Alley and vote for Georgia Technorama, and you still haven't done that. I'm disappointed. Very disappointed. I think now would be a good time.
Thanks, Angelo! Hey, it is, for most of you, the first of the month, because we're doing this on the end of the day in the Western Hemisphere, and we appreciate you going to Podcast Alley and voting for us.
Yeah, I do want to throw in here that I don't want to browbeat everybody to do that, but please, go vote for us. I'm a peg.
It's a different story when you start making a respectable running each month, and the last couple months we've been doing pretty respectable, and we'd like to see if we can just push it a little further and get into that top 100 or top 50. It really doesn't take that many votes. We're not looking to be number one. We just want to get a little more face time on the list. You know,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that and the daily source code, right?
And I look in the mirror and I say, man, you're number one every day.
If you're number one, who's number two? Do you always refer to yourself as a biological function?
I wouldn't think of it that way, but
okay. Well, I got an article from that was referred to me about a guy who is living in a text file, and when I got that title I went, well, that's kind of an odd place to live. I've heard of people living in a box but not a text file. This guy has tried to keep all of his thoughts and notes and things in a single text file, and then he broke it out into several files to make it easier to organize and manage, and search and replace was a bit trickier. So he went back to a single file, and it's actually working out pretty good. Craig, it looks like you threw in a couple of afterthoughts on here.
Yeah, he was saying he had now get this, he says he has his text file, and he was having trouble trying to figure out how to keep it in sync between the different computers that he's on.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first thing that popped in my head was, get a frickin' thumb drive!
That's what I thought, too. Yeah, that was my first thought, is why isn't he just carrying it around with him on a, you know, a $20 stick?
Yeah. Because, you know, I've got, it's actually TiddlyWiki, but it's the GTD version of TiddlyWiki, which I like very much. And I've got sensitive stuff in there, and notes, and my to-do list and all that good stuff. It's right there in my thumb drive. I don't even copy it off. It's, you know, it auto saves it to the thing, and I unplug it, I'm on my way. So TiddlyWiki does that too.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, very cool. So, you know, my suggestion to Sim is put a wiki on your thumb.
Put your thumb up your wiki.
This is Dr. Pamela Gay from Slacker Astronomy, and you're listening to Chuck Tomasi on Chuck Chat.
Craig, you've got a follow-up on your scripts that you've been writing. You mentioned these the other night.
Yeah, you know, the other night I talked about I wanted to write these scripts that takes all the data that that I think is interesting to me, and I wanted to all pull it all together into one place so I can search it and make it easy to find, and I finally got it going. I wrote some scripts that take stuff from my blog lines. You know, in blog lines, you can, as you, it's your feed reader, and you can say, I want to keep this, I want to keep this, and it kind of keeps a blog on blog lines of articles that you found.
Mm-hmm.
I scrape that data off of its RSS feed and put it into my WordPress. Then I have Dig, where, you know, in Dig, you can just click on the Dig for the little Dig icon for to say, well, this is cool, this is cool, this is cool. And it also puts it in an RSS feed, you know, that you can read back later and see what you've been digging.
Yeah.
All right. Then I've got Delicious Bookmarks, which is a way to bookmark pages. And I do this for pages that aren't really articles, but more or less tutorials and information. You know, I'll bookmark it. Mm-hmm. And it puts it on Delicious. And in Delicious, they also have an RSS feed that I can pull it in. So I wrote these scripts that takes these RSS feeds, sucks in the data, and, you know, puts it in there as different posts in my blog. So I can easily search and find all this stuff. It's really working out very well. Right now, I've got all the different articles. It makes one for each, you know, one for blog lines, one for Delicious, and one for Dig. And if they're set to private, so I only see them when I'm logged in. But I'm thinking about making them public. I just want to make sure everything is working properly. So it's working pretty well. I have it run at 11:58 each night, mm-hmm. right before midnight.
Mm-hmm.
It does it and is done. Dig is a little funny. I've been noticing that their feed from whatever I've been digging, they put the published date of when the article was published on Dig. They don't put the day I dug it.
Oh.
So I can't, it's hard to say, give me just today's digs. You know, the problem is I can't sort them and say that way I don't have any overlap from day to day. So I had to work around that, but and that seems to be working right so far. So anyway, so far it's working. I'm going to make it available for everybody for download once I nail down some documentation and make sure it's like I want it. So there you go.
All right.
If anybody has any feedback on that, please let me know. I'm at keyboardmonkey@gmail.com. Of course, you can get our listener line, and we'll give all that information out later.
You bet.
We're all concerned with the disaster from Hurricane Katrina. And here at RadioNHCWX.com and HurricaneProject.org, we are going to help with the efforts to get people affected back on their feet by donating to the American Red Cross. Please visit our websites, radio.nhcwx.com and hurricaneproject.org, and click on the Red Cross banners to make a donation directly. We will also be donating any funds created from the purchases on any of the sponsor banners on those sites. Additionally, Radio NHCWX will match the funds created from you clicking on the Google ads on those sites. The Radio NHC donation drive will last through September 30th, 2005. So please visit radio.nhcwx.com and hurricaneproject.org and click to make a donation so we all can help with a long recovery from devastating Hurricane Katrina. Thank you very much for your support, and thank you for listening.
And thank you for sending that in.
That's right. Now, it's time for me to rant. I'm mad.
We're going to need a new segment title for that one, new sound effect.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure out something. You won't like me when I'm angry. Anyway, I have a rant. And yes, I am bashing on Microsoft. And I'm not bashing on Microsoft for the obvious reasons, not because XP is... Well, XP, or because I like Linux. But anyway, I use XP. It's all right. But the deal is, why does Microsoft always have to swoop in and rain on everyone's parade? I mean, come on. Every time you see something good, it looks great, it works, it's popular, they come in and step on it and take it. Look at Netscape. I really liked Netscape in the early days. Well, IE was there. It was like a little small app. It was okay. Then they really came along. They really squashed out Netscape to nothing. Novell was a great server. Why did Microsoft need to make a server?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they came in with made NT and marketed the crap out of it, and you know, people went away from Novell. Of course, Novell could have made some changes, but we won't go into that. How about online internet access? Remember the stink that they had putting the MSN on their desktops and not competing ISPs?
Yes.
That wasn't a pretty sight. Instant messaging. ICQ was the bomb in the day. And so were a lot of others. And then here comes MSN Messenger. Not that it's actually taking over, but they thought they'd throw that out there too. Now, it's rumored that Microsoft has a Skype killer coming. Now, why did they need to get into that market? I mean, I understand that they need to spread their wings and try to make them, trying to blanket everything is what they're doing, and I know that. And even what about Java? That wasn't pretty either. I think that they need to put a little more resources into their OS and really crank out something nice. That's my rant.
You didn't hear it, but I had some rain sound effects in the background.
Rain?
Remember that thunder I recorded a couple weeks ago?
Oh. Oh, rain on the parade.
You said the raining on the parade, so I had to dig up some music. Hmm. Well, it wasn't exactly music.
What the chuck?
What's up with that?
My turn.
Go for it.
My iRiver ought to be thrown in the river. I am extremely frustrated. I noticed this once or twice. In the last couple of weeks, I recorded some stuff, and I'd come back, and I downloaded the computer, and then maybe a day or so later, I'd turn it on and say, "Formatting." I went, "That's weird. Did I hit something weird? Maybe there was some key combination. I thought it was just a fluke." Then, you know, a week or so later, turn it on, "Formatting." Like, whoa, good thing I didn't have anything valuable on there. Well, the stuff hit the fan on Friday. We got last-minute tickets to the Green Bay Packers game, and we went up there plenty early. We tailgated like good Packer fans, and while we were waiting for the game to start, and it was still daylight, I took my girls, this was their first Packer game, I took them for a little walking sound-seeing tour, and I grabbed the iRiver and the microphone, and we talked to vendors selling hats and t-shirts and jerseys, and we talked to a brass band that was about to strike up a tune on the corner, and we talked to a lot of people. The people who were getting ready to seat, they were wearing uniforms, red, black, or white shirts, black vests, and they were going to be helping people find their seats on the fourth and fifth floors. And on and on and on and on. I had about maybe an hour's worth of audio recorded. And I was coming back all ready to edit this and put together a SoundSing tour for release in my other feed. I switched it over to FM radio, and I listened to Larry McCarron and Wayne Larrabee on the radio doing the play-by-play while we were sitting there in the stands. It's much more entertaining when you hear the play-by-play and the colorful commentary, and they can see the player who is down on the floor or on the grass injured, and you can't. And then they come back later and say what injury they had and if they're out for the season, that kind of thing. Anyway, listened to the whole first half. Very happy. It was great. Turned it off at halftime. When I turned it on again at the beginning of the second half, formatting.
It's because you didn't buy it a beer.
I was really, really upset. So
I'm sure you were.
I called iRiver America today, and after 20 minutes of hold, I said, "What's the deal? Why is it doing this? Am I hitting some secret key combination by mistake that I'd really like to avoid? If that's the case, I'll make sure I avoid it." Lady puts me on hold. "I don't think so. Let me check." So I waited. She came back and said, "No, there's no key combinations that'll make it format." I said, "Do I have a lemon? Is it a firmware bug? What's going on?" She says, "Is it? Oh, how long have you had it?" I said, "About a month." "More or less?" I said, "More?" Because I think I got it just near the end of July. I know I didn't buy it in August.
More or less a month.
If it was less than a month, I could return it to the place I bought it. Mail order. And if it was more, I could return it to them. So it is a refurb unit. I hope they just go ahead and replace it, because it does have a one-year warranty. Mm. So apparently this thing's already been through the ringer once, and maybe I'll get a different unit back. Oh, just very, very frustrating. Very frustrating. So it'll take a couple of weeks. I'll be without my iRiver for a couple of weeks, and I will really hope it doesn't do this again, or I will seriously be getting some other different means of recording. That's my what the chuck for tonight. Why does it do it? I don't know. Do I want to know?
I know why.
This is Tim Dressen from the 500 by Midnight podcast, and you're listening to Chuck Tomasi on ChuckChat.com.
No ding on that one. A lot of those recorded at the same time in the same restaurant. Ding! Order up.
Yeah. All right.
Craig, we got a call from Lenny.
Oh, man. You do? Wait a minute, we got a call from Lenny?
Well, he left it on the Technorama listener line.
Okay.
206-222-CHAT.
Let's hear it.
Hey, guys, this is Lenny. Give me a call. I got some really big news for you. You know where to reach me. Bye.
What do you think that's all about?
I have no idea. There's no telling, man.
Do we dare call?
Later.
Not too much later. He's bound to call more.
Yeah. You'll hear from us soon enough, I'm sure.
All right. We got a couple things in the Geek Library, but we're running a little long tonight, so we're going to cut this one off at the
knee.
Wait
a minute.
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah, you got to mention them.
Okay. We have... No, well, this one's brand new, actually. Release 1.0 okay. Just came out yesterday, and... Did you put a link in the show notes?
Yes, I did.
We'll take it out.
What is it?
It's called Microsoft Sync Toy. It's one of the power toys.
You're going to tell the version and everything and ask me to remove the link? What? No. Nah.
This is the cruel podcast.
No kidding. It's version 1.0, whatever that is.
And I also have a link to some XP performance tuning stuff on the website. That was originally going to go in the show notes, but...
It is.
It is. Oh, well, now we got it twice, because I posted it as a separate post in the Technorama feed.
Oh.
So, la-di-da.
All right.
Now are we ready?
Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Stick a fork in me. I'm done.
I'm off like a prom dress.
Make like a tree and get out of here. Anyway, here you go. Listener line 206-222-CHAT. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com, at me, or me at keyboardmonkey@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit chuckchat.com for all the swag webcam and all the other link goodness.
And as always, a big binary high five.
101. Hey, like car accidents, most hardware problems are due to driver error.